Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. God is good and mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. The Lord is looking for people that he can give assignments to, people he can bless, people that will trust him, people that will trust him and take him at his word. You know, following God is a blessing. You know, when I first got saved, I knew that I had read about how the Lord would move on his people and bless them. And I thought that it was precious. I thought it was holy, how God could give a man information and bless them and direct them and help them win in life. And I used to wonder when I first got saved what that would be like to be guided by the Holy Spirit, like David and like Moses and others. And they would do miracles and wonders. And sometimes they didn't even understand it themselves. But the Lord was always faithful to be with them, to help them do whatever it was they needed to do. And I didn't know that what God was doing in their lives was available for everybody. You know, I had to learn how God is. We all do. And I'm going to show you how the Lord is patient with us. He loves us. He takes us step by step at our pace. Now, with that said, the Lord knows the problems of all people everywhere. He knows everybody's situation, everybody's struggle, everybody's plight. He know their capabilities. He know what they can become. And he has faith in us. He sees what we can't by the eye of faith. And he wants to help us mature in every possible way there is. He knows what is to our advantage and he knows what is not to our advantage. And he takes us at our own pace. Now, in the world, you are valued by your performance. What can you do for me? And then they put a value on you. If you're rich, people will cater to you because they feel like you're in a position to really help them. You can make their dreams come true. And it's not that simple. God thinks of everything. Did you know that if you don't have vision for something and somebody give you something you really don't have vision for, it will collapse? I'll give you an example. People win the lottery. They never had to manage millions of dollars before, and they really don't know how to manage hundreds of dollars. So over time, all the money they had, they're going to bring it down to their level of vision. And they usually end up in debt, or barely making it again, because they did not have vision for that kind of wealth. But in God's house, you're not valued by what you can do, your performance, how wealthy you are, how talented you are. You are loved because God loves you. And he greatly loves you as you love your children. He values you highly. Even if you don't do anything with your life, you're still loved. He still cares about you. And he will help you. And every day, it's like the past never happened. Especially if you ask him to forgive you and you acknowledge your sin. But if you act like your sins don't exist, then you know you drift off into a form of rebellion. And God can't ignore that, but he still loves you and he cares about you. And as long as he can work with you, he will. His love runs deep. But the influence of the world, they value you based on what you can do. They have respect of person, and God does not. And his people who mature in him, they learn these things and they don't have respect of person either. Now, there are Christians who do have respect to person, but God does not. So, and I remember whenever I would go in his presence, I would always feel welcome. But in the presence of men, I didn't always feel welcome. Unless they saw you a certain way, then you'd feel welcome. You can feel how people feel. If you're sensitive at all, and most people are because we're spirit beings, we can feel when we're welcome and also when we're not. You can feel when you're appreciated and you can feel when you're not appreciated because we're spirit beings. Even though people may not say it, you can feel it. You can feel the kindness and you can feel the buffer zone. But God is not like men, and he's definitely not like Satan, which is the captain of this world, this world system. And Jesus is like the Father. He doesn't have respect to persons either. He even said things to try to win his enemies. He wanted the Pharisees to get saved if they would. And and while he's dying on the cross, he's laying his life down on that cross. He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He interceded for everybody. What a high priest he is. Now, in the world, the Lord takes us at our pace. Your ministry, he will take you at your pace. We want him to take us at his pace, or we think we want him to take us at his pace. But remember, God is not mysterious. He's foundational. And people always say God works in mysterious ways. That's because they don't know him. God works in foundational ways. He will prepare you to do something that you can do. And then he will commission you to do it and sanction you to do it or anoint you to do something. The anointing is... it's a sanction that gives a man or a woman God's ability to perform and finish a specific task. Now, when he gave me that interpretation, he said a man or a woman, that represented maturity. He didn't say boy or girl. And he also didn't say that a boy or a girl couldn't be mature. He gives his anointing to people who are mature. People who will do it God's way. People who will love like God loves. And not according to the world system. God loves us. And he'll use us, he'll prepare and use us at our pace. Every minister, he'll use them at their pace. And he'll prepare them. And when they reach a point they can be trusted to finish something, he'll let them do it. That's why it's not good to rush and just do something. You're on fire for God. Take that love and just be obedient to him. Do what he released you to do. And if you still want to do something and you can't wait to just, you want to really serve God and God hadn't given you a specific task yet. All right. Be faithful where you are. Represent God to your friends, to your family. Be a blessing at your church. When I first got saved, I had all that love. I wanted to do something. Now, I knew I couldn't preach because he didn't call me yet. And I really didn't want to be a preacher in the first place. Or I thought I didn't. I didn't want the responsibility, but I wanted to serve God any which way I could. I was very interested in Revelation. I wanted to see what heaven was going to be like. I loved God. I enjoyed his presence. I felt welcome in his presence. I didn't have to act a certain way. I could just be thirsting. And I was appreciated. And with all that going on, I wanted to really serve God. I said, Lord, I don't want to disappoint you. I want to do right. And I still feel the same way. When I think about things that I've done, that's just not godly, I wish I had a time machine to go back and undo it, but you can't do that. I wished all my sins never happened, but I sinned. And I did a lot of them too. And I was disconnected, so I know what it's like to not be on God's side and to be a servant in the world system under Satan's foot. And you think you're doing all right. You don't see things the same way. But I wished I didn't do the things that I did. And I thank God for all the problems he helped me avoid. And I know that he was honoring my parents' prayers, working through their prayers and his great love towards me, keeping me out of trouble. So God loves us and he takes us at our pace. And he knew when I first got saved that I couldn't do everything to his satisfaction. But he loved me anyway. He knew that I wasn't capable of doing some things. He loved me anyway. He saw Jesus when he saw me. He knew I wanted to serve him, but he knew that if I got mad enough, I'd curse somebody out, which I did. He knew I'd fight. And he also knew I'd repent. And I didn't know all this stuff about myself till things happened. And I said, man, and I thought about it. I said, he loved me even though I wasn't finished yet. So his love runs deeper than my performance. My performance ain't worth nothing. But he loves us anyway, even if you don't get every little thing right and do what other people wish you'd do. Even pastors value people based on what they do and how they perform. But God loves you anyway. His love is not based on how you perform. How much you give, how much you attend church, how much you do the thing. And good pastors, they want you to do what's right because they love you and they care about you. And they really want the best for you. But people don't always do what's best. People don't always do what is in their best interest. But the love of God never fails. Now, he takes us at our own pace. And he blesses us. Well, as we receive it, we have to receive his word, believe his word, act on it, and speak it and act on it in order for it to be real in our lives. And the way we measure it is the way it's going to be measured to us. Now, learning to follow God was not an accident. A combination of things happened to get me to the point where I was aware that it was necessary. Now, I taught this before, but there was a lady named Carolyn Stevens. And every Sunday for years, she would read Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. And it reads, verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto their own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." And she would read this every Sunday. Every Sunday. Every Sunday. And it got in my heart. Now, two guys would usher you into the presence of God. Greg Hosey, he used to lead praise and worship most of the time. And he would, after work every day, he would go home and pray for hours. And he would fast and pray. And the Lord was with him, and he would just usher the whole church into the presence of God. Elder Lewis, he was a holiness pastor that loved worship. He believed in worship. And he was a good leader in that area. He was a good worship leader. He wasn't the singer that Greg Hosey was. He taught Greg about worship, I believe. And Greg just ushered people right into the presence of God. So I learned to go in the presence of God. And that's why I felt welcome. And I knew that I needed a lot of help in a lot of areas. But I always felt welcome in God's presence. So that was going on. And I'm hearing what Carolyn Stevens used to read every Sunday. And Elder Lewis, he didn't just, you know, we are products of our predecessors. The fruit that we, the way we are is the kind of fruit that we bear. And I had a lot, I wanted to be guided by God. And I couldn't wait for Sunday because Elder Lewis would preach something and he would, the Lord would often use him to say things that I needed. And God would give him messages, and the message would be on point to fit my life, to help me in whatever area I needed. And the sermons back then, I learned to be guided by it. I expected it. Every time he preached, I expected to be guided by the Lord so I could do better and better and better and better. So when I became a minister, I didn't just write a message out of my own strength. I would let God give it to me. And I felt like I didn't know what to do, so I would ask him. I said, I don't know what to do. I didn't even want to be a preacher. I didn't even feel qualified. But the Lord was dealing with me at my pace. He would give me what to say, and I would say it and sit down. I didn't add to it, and I didn't take away, but when I sat down, I would think about what he had me to say. I would look over my notes and consider it, and I would change my opinions. Whenever he gave me a word, a message, I said, oh, I didn't know that. He gave me a message. I saw something that I didn't know before because he revealed some revelation to me. And I used to look forward to preaching because I would always get more revelation from the Lord, because he was giving me revelation for the particular audience that I was ministering to. And I learned a lot of things, and I appreciated it. And I wanted to do better. I wanted to please God. And I wanted to be a blessing to mankind. And I didn't know what in the world I was doing. So I counted on God to do it. And that's precisely what the Lord wants us to do. I didn't feel like a professional preacher. And I really never do. But in his presence, I learned things. And then I ministered what he sanctioned me to preach. And teach. And explain. And it's all according to the seven manifested spirits of the Holy Spirit. Revealed in Isaiah chapter 11. And as I go forward, I see the wisdom and handiwork of God. And I say, oh. And everything that God says is easy to be entreated, easy to be understood. If you receive it, you can't wrestle with it. You have to receive it. And then sometimes he'll say things you had no clue about. And you never heard anybody else say it. And now the Lord's giving it to you. And it's precise, but you never heard it before. So those are hard instructions. Now, you can tell that it's God's word. If you study his word, you receive it. And when the Holy Spirit reveals something you never caught before, sometimes I have a vow that I'm going to obey him. I have to obey God. I have to speak his word. And I know this. But I look to him to confirm it. Some things I want him to confirm, because I'm trying to learn like Gideon was. Gideon, God told him he was a mighty man of valor. He didn't see it, but he asked God for clues and he asked him questions to strengthen his faith so that he could obey him. You know, he put out the fleece. If I'm really a mighty man of valor, make the dew be on the ground and not in the bowl. And, you know, let the fleece be dry, let the ground be wet. And the Lord did. Then he said, let the fleece be wet and the ground be dry. And the Lord did it. He was trying to receive what God was saying. And the Lord worked with him at his pace. Now we have the Holy Spirit. God expects us to receive what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. And we should. But he works with us at our pace. So when we trust in the Lord with all our heart, and when we lean not to our own understanding, a freedom comes with it. A greater liberty. We learn to count on him. We learn to rely on God's wisdom. And the next side of that promise is, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So you're lending yourself to the Lord. You're yielding to him. And he's going to take advantage of this form of faith that you put forth. And he's going to guide you. And when he do, he's giving you something precious, precious revelation from the Holy Spirit. He's giving you diamonds of understanding, rubies of wisdom. And you can do things with them. And it's going to be a lifeline to somebody else. And it's going to be an anchor to you. And you didn't know this fact. Now, I'm going to tell you something about the Lord. God never, ever runs out. Thousands of years from now, you can always learn something from the Lord you never knew before. And I'm saying thousands of years, even millions of years from now, God can show you things and share things with you that you never had a clue about. But if you stop looking at him, then that you can't learn as if you were looking at him. Not physically, but counting on him, relying on him, trusting him. That's the only time you can increase. And as he give you revelation and understanding and his wisdom, you trust his wisdom, then vision comes with it. Every time you receive his word, new vision comes to you. It's presented from the foundation of faith. When you believe him and take him at his word, new vision always comes when you're in a state of believing God, taking him by faith. Receiving him by your faith. And that's the way it works. And the Lord will always, 100% of the time, bless you to learn more. And with more knowledge, you can do more things. And your pace increases. So the revelation does too. Now he loves you. It's not about your performance and how many people you win to the Lord and all these wonderful things. All of it is a byproduct of his relationship with you. Your best efforts in this world that men would be amazed at is just a byproduct of your relationship with the Lord. A byproduct of your love towards the Lord. Even a byproduct of your faith in the Lord. Your faith comes first. That relationship comes first. Everything else, all the wonderful things, the handiwork you do, is a byproduct. Now, sometimes in an emergency, the Lord will rush things. He'll help you to understand. He'll anoint you to understand things. He can do it that way. But most of the time, he trains us over time. When he needs you, when somebody failed to do their part, they didn't grow up. Now the Lord has to use you in a backup plan. And he'll give you knowledge and understanding that you couldn't understand on your own. He can download it into you. Now that's when he's in emergency mode. And he's going to use you mightily to get a specific task done. And he'll just give you the knowledge. You won't even understand how in the world it came to you, but it did. And then he'll anoint you to do something. And you'll be so amazed at it. Now, if this ever happens, never touch the glory. Because people are going to look at you differently. As if you did it. Because they see in the world, people value you based on what you do. You did something amazing. So they put a high value on you. When God values your love, he loves you because he just loves you. It's not about how you perform. That's why some people going to come to the Lord. They think that they will, that because God did a mighty work in their life, God valued them high. And that's not true. It's not true at all. God did, he gave us a grace to do something we couldn't do. That's way beyond ourselves. He equipped us to run at a faster pace, at a faster amount of time to get something done so his people wouldn't die. Everything God does has to be legal. And all of his miracles are done by men. And so when God do a miracle and people look at the people and the people are looking at them, if they get in pride, their focus change. And they get into a form of rebellion. And they still think they're all right with God, even though they're not listening to him anymore. And they dissemble in their hearts. And when they stand before Jesus, he said, many are going to come to me saying, Lord, Lord. But they left the relationship of their own free will. They listened to the world. They adopted worldly standards. And when the Lord tried to correct them, they wouldn't listen. When the Holy Spirit brought conviction, they turned it off. They got in pride. They hardened their heart. Sin always hardens your heart. And takes you down a negative path. And then they died. And they never repented and wouldn't repent. See, death doesn't change the condition of your heart. Now that you're facing eternity, whatever's in your heart, that's the way you are. You have to change it now. If it's not right, you have to change it now. Your opinions won't change when you go to heaven. You'll just be around more vision. But if you've hardened your heart against God, it won't erase it. You have to soften your own heart. If you die in the logic of a Pharisee, you're not going to heaven. God, see, sin causes us to be the enemy of God. If we love any form of sin, it turns us into his enemy. It will change you. You have no regard for his love. You don't want to please him anymore. You want to please yourself. That's why many are going to come saying, Lord, Lord, we work miracles in your name. We cast out demons. That's just a byproduct of your relationship, which you're not saying you, but which people renege on. They leave it. They start fancying the world. And then they die. And God got to tell them, you can't come up here. And it happens too often. That's why I decided a long time ago, my ministry is going to be ministry. I'm going to enjoy God's presence. I'm going to enjoy him. I'm going to look to him. I'm going to seek to please him just like I did in the beginning. And he'll cause me to do whatever is necessary and I'll be faithful. So that's why it's so important to trust in the Lord with all thine heart, all of it, not half of it, not most of it, all your heart. That way, see, Jesus put it this way. He just said it different. If your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. If your desire is to please God and honor him and enjoy his relationship, you feel welcome in his relationship and you want to do more for him. That's all of your heart towards him, all of it. I didn't know how to make all the adjustments to kill all the, to drive out all the Canaanites, but that was the beginning of it. I didn't even know how to put that in words. I didn't even know I could get rid of every evil desire. I wanted to. I used to say, Lord, I don't want to like that no more. How come I still like this? I was always honest with him. Help me hate it. After years, I was able to, you know, I said, I don't want to like nothing like that. And I said, Lord, help me hate this. Everything that's not of you got to go. It took years for me to say something like that. I didn't even know how to put that in words then. You know, I thought we had to just struggle with stuff until he come back. I wanted him to hurry up and come back because I didn't like those sins. But I didn't know all I had to do is ask him to teach me how to hate it and believe that he would. Because sometimes I judge things by performance. It's not about your performance, but it was still my desire to do right. He said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And if your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. If you're looking at the Lord trying to please him, you're not going to want to do nothing worldly. And then in John chapter 2, he isolated what the world was. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. I said, okay, now that helps me. If anything stems from those three things, it's the world and I can kill it. And I used to, and Charles Capps taught us how to confess our faith. So I just confessed that I hated those things. Until I drive it out. But the Lord, he loves us for who we are. He loves us because he chose to. And we love him because he loved us first. We're learning what love is. And the word of God is the knowledge of love. Now, I didn't even get to Thyatira yet, but we will. The Lord took me this route, and I thank him for it. Now, I'm out of time. The Lord is not. He's going to mightily move in your life and take you at your pace and bless you where you are, from where you are, to glory to glory. Now, the next time, remember, I love you. God loves you. And Jesus truly is our Lord.